if the Seattle management isn't give you their time of day, what makes you think that Jerry Jones is going to listen to you?
Sometimes they're blowing teams out by overtime. Come on now. When they're on, they're on.
Again, I'm going to need you to write LeBron a letter, send it to him, and say, Bron, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to hop off your bandwagon. Don't do that.
Welcome to Score the Pot Sports, presented by Clover Crest Media Group and CMG Podcast. I'm your host, JJ Vargas, alongside my brothers, Riley Barry and Sander Sanchez. How you guys doing?
Chill, you?
Doing good, baby, doing good.
Guys, I'm happy you guys look sharp on a Monday. I'm very excited. The NFL season is around the corner. That's exactly where I want to start. So I'm going to get right to it, guys. The NFL has restricted that. You know, they are going to be very strict when it comes to the whole vaccination at this point with the league, considering that they're right now underneath the threshold of what it is that they want to be at, you know, including incentives for guys that do end up getting vaccinated, the threatening forfeit losses if the game ends up being delayed because of an outbreak. Considering that also, guys won't get paid on either side. And if one thing that us men know we don't like is our money being disrupted prior. We love knowing our money's coming in our way. And if somebody's going to be bothering that cash flow, me and you might have a problem. You know what I'm saying? So do you think that the NFL is being fair with this new set of rules?
100%. If you have a problem with it, leave. Yo, D-Hop, if it's that hard, leave. Yo, Cole Beasley, if it's that hard, leave. Figure out another way to get the income. I'm under this is the whole thing I have. If it's a rule, deal with it. If you can't deal with it, go elsewhere. Hey, yo, look, man, times are hard, so guess what? Stop and Shop hiring. Price are hiring. Hey, yo, Jiffy Lube hiring. You know how to do oil change? Yo, these spots is hiring, so I don't want to hear nothing from nobody. It's funny to me, right? You're all of a sudden now, vaccination is a bad thing. But in order to go to school, children have to be vaccinated. I'm going to say that one more time. For all the people who are crying and saying this is unfair, your child needs to be vaccinated in order to go to school. So why is it that now all of a sudden it's a problem? Why all of a sudden people, and for all you morons that are out there, and I'm JJ, I know you're going to get mad at me when I say this, but they're morons. For all the morons who think, oh, they want to give you the shot to so they can track you. Hey, yo, Goofy. It's called a smartphone. They can follow you anywhere. Your social security number. They could. So all this notion about, oh my God, bro, they're trying to inject me with something. Yeah, Goofy. They're trying to inject you with something that was going to protect you. And all these morons are saying, oh my God, it's 99.9% survivability rate, right? I'm like, first of all, it's 2%. There's 2% chance that you're going to die, which I'd rather it be zero. I'd rather it be zero. Now, if you look at those numbers, you compare it to the people who got vaccinated, right? The numbers tell you the vaccination is 100. Literally, this is no fabrication. This is literal. It is over 100,000 times safer to get the vaccine. And again, when you get the vaccine, for the morons who don't understand what a vaccine is for, it's for two things. One, to help you prevent it. But when you get it, to prevent symptoms, you morons. The Colts, if I'm not mistaken, someone on the coaching staff in the Colts, he got COVID. Ask him what symptoms he got. Oh, wait, you can't ask him. Why? Because he has none.
He has none.
And that's what the vaccine is for. Listen, I'm not a Cowboys fan at all. But Michael Irving put it so beautifully. This is the time where it shows you who really wants to win. That's what this is. Because you got dudes literally threatening to leave. First of all, Cole Beasley, please leave. No one misses you. Nobody would miss you, bro.
You're not going to say that about D-Hop, though.
Oh, I say that about D-Hop every day of the week. Listen, we have a plethora of talent. So to think that unless it's a quarterback, because like quarterback position right now is a little top heavy, right? Unless it's a quarterback, and it's got to be a top quarterback. So if Patrick Mahomes is saying that, I'm going to have to sit down and have a conversation with him. Right now, if Andy Dalton, who just happened to grow a beard, all of a sudden thinks, "Oh, I got a beard, I'm that guy." No, fam, no. You can leave. I matter. I will escort you. I will call 911 and I will get you an escort out of here, bro. I'll do you that favor. But for all the people who are saying, "Oh my God, the league is forcing this upon them," you guys are the same people who want your children to get vaccinated so they can go to school. So my thing is, what's the difference? What is the difference? Why is it that for this specific incident? For this specific illness, for COVID, why is it that everyone's allowed to be like, oh my God, there is just something bigger. I guarantee it's part of a conspiracy theory. There's no conspiracy. Isn't it possible, just maybe a possibility, that we don't want you to die? Is that a possibility? Is that a possibility that just maybe we do want to get back to being normal? Is it a possibility that we just want to be able to go back to normal so we can just get the shot and move on with our lives? Is that possible? Because I guarantee you, bro, if these people, like the people who are opposing, if they would just shut up and get it, I promise you this whole thing would have been over. This would have been over. I'm talking about to the point where we would have treated this in like polio. Y'all remember polio? Oh, no, y'all don't, because it hardly exists anymore. Why? Because of vaccines. So to all the people who are saying, oh, my God, it's unfair for the league to do that. Pride.
I never got the chicken pox. You know why?
Vaccine.
Got a vaccine.
And here's the wild part. The same dudes who's crying about COVID is the same bozos who get a flu shot every year. Let that sink into your mind. These dudes get a flu shot, but COVID is too dangerous. Question mark? Like, to me, bro, like, if you're against this, you're doing it for one reason and one reason only. You just want to be a contrarian. You just want to be against the wave, and you just want to be like, oh, my God, look at me. I'm different. I'm going at the beat of my own drum. Well, bozo, your drum is broken. Your drum is broken. So if y'all don't want to get it, that's fine. Just don't look at the league, because look, the league wants to make money. How are they going to make money? Making the stadiums full. That's what they want. They want the stadiums full. All these guys talking about, man, it wasn't fun playing in a stadium with no fans. It was kind of, you know, there was no energy. Okay, you want fans in here? Get a vaccine. Well, you know, and it's like, yo, dumb, meet dumber. Like, no, I, like, bro, it's like, this is where it is, bro. It's like, these dudes is like, I'll do anything to win. Bro, there's guys talking about, bro, I would kill someone to win. Get a vaccine? Nope, no thank you. Huh? So when you commit a crime to win, but you won't be safe and protect yourself? I just don't understand. I'm team NFL because I want things to get normal. That's it. I want to be able to go to an arena. Like, I want to go, and I want to be able to go and see a football game, right? Like, if the Patriots ever come to Carolina, I want to go see that game. I want to be able for it to be filled up, because, you know, I'm a Patriots fan, so I want to be that dude, like, in a sea of light blue, and you just see a dark blue with, like, number 12 on it. I'm just waving the flag. Hey, yo, what it do, baby? Like, that's what I want. You feel me? Like, that's what I want. And, like, now all these guys talking about, oh, my God, I don't feel safe doing it. And it's like, so you don't feel safe getting a vaccine when literally it's wild to me. Science is always right until it's not right. Let that sink in. Like, yo, D-Hop, football, you're smart. You're smarter than Dr. Fauci. Cole Beasley.
I will say this for D-Hop, you know, the stance that he's taken when it comes to the vaccine, I believe it was his sister's boyfriend got the vaccine not too long ago and then ended up having a heart attack. And then, you know, there's a possible connection to the two, but he's explained that's why he has that. I think that he might just be a little, you know, overthinking the whole situation, Sander. But nonetheless, you know, everybody has their point why they feel some type of way about it. But fair or not by the NFL, Sander?
100% fair by the NFL, because guess what? To those that oppose this and don't want to go through this, the NFL players, remember the hell that they went through last year? Well, if you don't take the vaccine, you're going to be going through all that hell all again. And it's probably going to be even worse this year, because you're going to be secluded. You're going to be grouped along with those who don't want to get vaccinated. You're not going to be in the same conference room looking at the same film with those players who are vaccinated. So literally you're kind of just screwing yourself, honestly. And it's literally a bunch of millionaires crying, wah, wah, wah. Honestly, dude, toughen the hell up. You have generational wealth, especially guys like DeAndre Hopkins, who isn't I'm not counting his pockets, but the dude is wealthy. The dude is, he's set right now. He shouldn't have to worry about nonsense like this. This is only to better the league, to make it safer for everyone else to come. Because guess what? If you do choose to not go through, you'll end up like those two people from the staff. One was from the Patriots who just got, I don't think he got fired, but he was told basically to be on administrative leave because not going to go with the vaccine yet until they come up with something where maybe he can come to work and still be not vaccinated. But still, is that the nonsense that you want to go through? Is that the distraction that you want to put your team through? Because guess what? Let's say you do choose to not get vaccinated and you are secluded. You aren't with your teams. You aren't with your boys. And guess what? Your performance dips. You're not up there. You're not up to par to what you used to producing. That's going to go in correlation with you not getting your vaccination and you not doing what you have to do for the team to be successful. Football, more than any other sport, it's a sport where you rely on the team. You just can't be a dominant person by yourself. You have to have all 52 guys and all 11 guys on both sides of the field on the same page. And once one of the head guys, this isn't a second string. This isn't a third string corner. This isn't a backup lineman. This is our receiver, probably one of the that's going to produce the second most in your entire offense, talking about retirement based off of a shot. And Pride, you said it lovely. You punks take your flu shots all the time. You guys are superior athletes. You guys are the anomaly, like my friend puts it so eloquently. You guys are the anomaly to everybody else in the United States, because when you're in the NFL, you're one of the you're the 1% of specimen on this planet that's just you're just athletically superior to everybody else. So you should, less than anybody else should worry about it, because this is just to make it better. Again, I said, guys, these are just a bunch of millionaires trying to contrarians, Price said, not trying to get in line with everybody else. I want to know, where was this energy? Where was this energy when Kaepernick was taking a knee for the difference that had to be made for all the Africans in America that were going through the nonsense with the police? Where was that energy? Now, because of a shot, you guys want to try and take a stand and talking about quitting and talking about retirement and talking about maybe this is good, if I'm going to be an endangerment to my team, like DeAndre Hopkins says, if I'm going to be a detriment to my team, then maybe I'm just going to retire. Really? Over a shot, bro? It's nonsense to me, JJ. And the guys that are against this, they're really putting their teams in predicaments where it's like, damn, If he's jumping the ship over this, do we really want to pay him long term when his contract comes up? Because DeAndre Hopkins, he didn't get re-signed from the Cardinals. He's still playing on that contract from Houston. So come contract time, when dude has a difference like that, is that the type of guy that you want to invest a super max deal in and make him one of the highest paid players? Because if he's quick to jump ship like that, you got to question where loyalty is. Because if Kyler Murray is not having this type of dispute, and he's the leader of the team, believe it or not, and J.J. Watt, who is also on that team, if he's not speaking out on it, you should really check yourself, bro, because look at people around you. They want to do something that's for the greater good of the entire league, because in the NFL, more than any other sport, you a single player ever above the logo or the shield. That just doesn't go down in the NFL. Even though the NFL has been trying to trend towards the NBA-like lifestyle, it's never going to happen with the NFL, because the NFL is the type of team, that type of league where they're the owners hard on their players. Like, there's not one player that's above the team. Not one. Brady and Brady is the rare case for that. Like, he's the type of dude that could walk into a new organization and demand whatever the hell he wants and get to a Super Bowl. Players, not every player has that type of pull, and not every player have that type of pull. And guess what? It's just the way it is. I understand that it's his, guess what? And just because it's his body, he can gladly sit out and play and protect his body. If that's what it takes. If you're not gonna follow suit, then go ahead. The league is not for you. Go play in the CFL. Go try and talk to Vince McMahon and build up the XFL again, and you guys play for them. Because the NFL has the rules, and even though I'm never in agreement with all the rules, but guess what? Rules are rules, guys, and you just have to go with it. If not, luck, you guys are sitting pretty bank. guys like DeAndre Hopkins, if you don't want to play because of this. And by the way, it's funny that he deleted the tweet. That's kind of like some punk shit to me. Like, don't begin to say it and be quick to delete it, because stand by what you say. You feel me? So it to me, it's just a bunch of clownness. It's a bunch of nonsense. If you don't agree with it, notice how the leaders of teams aren't speaking out like this. Guys like Jay Bot, guys like Kyler, guys like Brady, guys like, you know, Patrick Mahomes, who they're not speaking on this because they trying to do they see it as the greater good for the entire league, not just individual.
And Pride, did you want to touch on that before I went?
Yeah, just real quick. You say it's his body, right? Now, this is where that argument now goes out the window. Because guess what? If he gets COVID, everyone in his team not only misses the game, but guess what? The entire organization doesn't get paid. So you can't say, "Oh yeah, it's his body, his choice."
And let me add to that. Not only that team, but also the team that they play that week.
And the thing is like the issue is, if the rule is too hard, go home. That's it. Yeah. Go home. But don't say the Players Association is horrible. Don't say the Players Association is bad, because you want to know what? That's the same Player Association you ran to get paid in Houston. It's the same Player Association you ran to get traded. So all this nonsense, for me, as a player, the Player Association is great until they do one thing you don't like. Then when they do that one thing, all of a sudden they're horrible. All of a sudden they don't care about the players. All of a sudden it's not fair. But again, you're saying a lot of teams have players that don't. It's not just ego. I understand that it's not just D-Hop. I said D-Hop and Cole Beasley because those are the two who are crying like children. By the way, did you know Mark Cuban put Cole Beasley on the spot? He was like, "Fam, I'll make you a deal. If you get the vaccine, I personally will buy you and your wife a share of Pfizer, so you will get profits of the shots. Okay. All you gotta do is go get the shot." And guess what? Cole Beasley, all of a sudden, no one can find him. No one can find him. So that just proves he wants to be a contrarian. But I don't like the argument, but that is just his body, because it's affecting everybody else. And if you don't want to see D-Hop, fine, whatever. Let's throw Tom Brady in there for the sake of argument, right? Let's just say it's Tom Brady, right? It's the same thing for him. Because if he comes out and let's say he gets it, and now they play the Steelers. Now guess what? Now that's two teams who got to miss the whole game, potentially even two, because listen, some teams play on short weeks. Now imagine if a team got to play on short weeks.
They're not saying don't come to work if you don't get vaccinated. You can sure as hell come in, but guess what? You're gonna have to wear your mask. You're gonna be secluded. And if something happens because you didn't get vaccinated and there's a breakout, you're the one that everyone's gonna look at, and you're the one that's gonna be costing everybody's paycheck. Everybody, not just yourself. So guess what? Don't be like, "Oh my God, why is everybody bullying me or picking on me?" Well, you're the dumbass that doesn't want to get in line with everybody else.
Yeah, I agree with you guys. You know, when it comes to the questions that are being fair, absolutely. You know, I'm definitely corporate America on this one. Listen, I'm a first responder, and I think we've all had jobs that, you know, we're working there for a little bit, and if the company says, "Listen, we got to wear this shoe starting on this date, and you got till this day to buy these shoes, or we're gonna write you up, or you'll get fired." You know damn right you're gonna get the shoes. Like I said, I'm a first responder. I said till X date to get vaccinated, and I did because I needed to. That was part of the regulations of my job. That's what it is. As an NFL player, you have to fall in line with what your employer does and what they are employing. Because if the NFL tells you you got to get vaccinated if you want to be an NFL player, that's what's going to require you to do to become an NFL player. And you know, I love the point that you guys made about, "Oh guys, I'll run past a fucking brick wall for my team, I'll ride for my guys," isn't that? Get a vaccine. Come on, man. It really does take a 53-man effort, you know, when it comes to the NFL. We all know that it's the most prestigious team award that you can win in when it comes to American sports. You know, it's nothing like raising the Lombardi. It really does take everybody. And D-Hop, you know, since we are mentioning him, he's not a scrub in this league. You know, he's arguably the best receiver in the league. You know what I mean? So his contribution not being on the field for not only Kyler Murray, but just for the whole Arizona Cardinals team dips. It absolutely dips. You best believe J.J. Watt made the move to come in Arizona because he's like, "Shit, they got DeAndre Hopkins on that team. If I come to that team too, we can really make some noise." You know, so, you know, Pride, I just look at it like this. Like, this is like the ultimate team bonding thing. Like, if you got to get vaccinated and it's part of the team thing, just do it, man, because it's really going to cost you at the end of the day. Because another thing that I want to touch before I pass it on to you, if you're not vaccinated, you can't practice with your vaccinated teammates. So imagine being Kyler Murray and not being able to throw the ball to D-Hop until game day because you can't practice with him in practice. Imagine.
And that matters. Like, that matters. Like, unless you're a Tom Brady and Julian Edelman, where you guys have been with each other for so long that you guys will be able to survive, unless you have a very special bond like that, you're not really going to be able to succeed like that. Because the only time you're ever going to get, like, all the stuff you're going to have to run, you're basically practicing during the game. That's basically what you're doing.
Imagine being Matthew Stafford, just arriving in L.A., and can't practice with your receivers because they're not vaccinated.
Exactly. Right. And that's horrible. That's all, because now he has no idea how Robert Woods runs. He doesn't understand the way Cooper Kupp accelerates. He doesn't get that stuff. He doesn't understand how Tyler Higbee likes to run. Like, he don't get that stuff. And you need to know this stuff in order, because the receiver and the quarterback need to be on the same page. 100%. If they're not on the same page, they're gonna fail. That's just kind of what it is.
And guys, and the reason why it's so important this season, because last season they didn't have this. They didn't have preseason. They didn't have training camps last season due to COVID. This season is so important because all those training camps, all those OTs, all those RPOs, all that is so important this season because they're coming off of a year where they had no practices, no training camp, no preseason, nothing. And look at what happened last season. I mean, yeah, we saw Tom Brady win a Super Bowl, but – coming off of a season where this is now, they have a preseason, they have training camp, they have all the practices, they have voluntary workouts. Dude, this is so important coming off of a season where they didn't have it. It'd be terrible for guys to not get vaccinated and then have to deal with the nonsense that they dealt with last season going into this season.
I mean, these guys are just morons at this point. I know you're going to get mad at me for saying that. You're going to yell at me, and I'll take it on the chin.
I need a million.
But they're morons, bro, because these are the same dudes who last year said, I want the league to get back to normal and I'll do anything for it. Now all you need to do is get a shot. You need to get two shots. You get two boo-boos and everything goes back to normal. And to sit there and all of a sudden be a contrarian talking about, well, I got to think about my family. I got to think about the – I find it funny when they say that, because guess what? The way you guys play and where you guys move, you guys touch the hot spots of where COVID is. So don't hit me with this garbage about I'm protecting my family, because if anything, you're putting your family in great danger, because you're going to stadiums where there's a lot of people. You're going to airports. You're having people touch your things that you don't really know. So to all of a sudden be like, oh yeah, it's for my family. That, to me, it's a contradiction. If you don't want to get your vaccine, that's fine. It's okay. Go home. Don't come back.
It's a bunch of Spider-Man looking at each other.
This whole pandemic thing dies down, or B, you swizen up and you get vaccinated. Until then, go home. Yo, D-Hop, this is the NFL, not the D-Hop League. We don't need you like that. We got Devontae Adams. We got Michael Thomas. We got other guys who can step up and fill the void. So stop acting like, oh, if I leave, this league's going to fall. Cole Beasley.
No, you above the shield, bro. Nobody's above the shield, bro.
We were able to live without Antonio Brown. Who thinks we're gonna miss you? Bro, when you left, Dallas didn't even miss you. Matter of fact, they helped push you out the door.
Yeah.
Buffalo can't wait. Bro, the instant your contract runs out, Buffalo letting you walk. Where are you going from there? Where are you going from there? Acting like people gonna miss him like that. Like he was on Twitter talking about, oh bro, I have to retire. I'm like, fam, you barely touched the ball, so you might as well retire. What you mean this is going to push you over the edge? Fam, you barely do anything. You're just out there running laps, bro. That's all you're really doing.
He pat bad.
Like, nah, bro, but to me, man, if they really want this to go normal, just get vaccinated. If you don't want to get vaccinated, go home. That's it. That's really the two options, and I don't want
to
hear
if
about
that. If you
want
to play in the NFL, you're going to have to get vaccinated. Corporate America wins once again. Yep. You know, it's just what it is. But I do want to keep on the NFL, guys. For a guy that knows corporate America all too well, Mr. Jerry Jones, you know, he's a multi-billionaire center. You know about him. He owns your Dallas Cowboys. And when he bought the Cowboys back in the late 80s, early 90s, championships came pretty easy to him, and he ended up winning three in his first 6 years as an owner. But then things went a little awry, and he ended up winning one then. And, you know, he touched about that, and we're going to listen to him.
I said, what in the world are you so anxious to talk to Jimmy about? He said, I just wanted to get both you little on this couch and ask you both, how could you this up? Ridiculous. My role here was my job to keep it together. It was my job. It should have deference, should have had deference to something that was working good.
Yeah, you know, we all know it's hard to keep a good team together. And, you know, he had it for a little bit there, Sander. And then back in 2014 when Dallas had Zeke and Dak and Dez, it looked like maybe there was something there, but then that didn't last very long. But nonetheless, what can Jerry do to make Cowboys great again, Sander, your beloved team?
I want to start by
saying that
I was really looking forward to today's show because we missed Friday, you know. And then when you show me the questions, then you see that the second block Dallas Cowboys in. It's like you like to open up wounds, bro. Like I know you get joy out of this. I know you and Pride get joy out of me seeing my shit. Look at that. I was probably like 1 or 2 though when that picture was taken.
Hey, 100%. That photo is almost black and white. That's how long it's been.
it was so beautiful, man. I can almost never remember how beautiful that day was because I was barely. But nonetheless, guys, what can Jerry Jones do to make the Cowboys great again? Unfortunately, guys, what did I say the other day? That I was the most realistic Dallas Cowboy fan on the planet. I'm not one of those guys, those nauseating cockroach fans that Stephen A. likes to disrespect. I'm not one of those guys. I'm the most realistic, optimistic, truthful Cowboys fan you'll ever meet. And I'll start by saying this, TJ and Pride. There is not a damn thing that Jerry Jones can do right now or for his entire tenure, as however long that is. He might be up there with Betty White, just can never die and just continue living and be the owner of the Cowboys. But as long as he's the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, I don't think there's nothing they can do to make it better. But I'm optimistic sometimes, so I just wrote down a few things that he can try and do. And I'll start by saying this. It's hire the right guy. Hire the right football guys. Dude, I understand you're the owner of the Cowboys, but it's not a family business. When it comes to sport teams, it's not well when it's a family-run thing. Because guess what? 9 times out of 10, you're just giving guys jobs because you love them. And you had – key example, you had an adopted son in Tony Romo who just because you gave him chance after chance, and Jason Garrett was another one. You gave him chance after chance after chance. It just proves that he's not competent enough to hire the right guys. Michael Jordan is one of the greatest basketball players of all time, right? He owns a team. Go ahead and ask him how successful that team's been, okay? He hasn't hired the right guy. And it's just like Jerry Jones, man. Ever since that Jimmy Johnson debacle, you took something away from someone who had it everything under control. Jimmy Johnson had this team in contention year after year. They didn't win it every year, but in those 90s, they were a dominant force to be reckoned with year after year. And because Jimmy Johnson was getting the shine, it's documented all over the place. Jerry Jones was kind of like a Jerry Krause where he wanted to shine. He's like, oh, wait a minute. I know he's the head coach, but I hired him. I put the team together. And it was just jealousy that got in the way of something beautiful that was being built. And it took away. You asked what the ceiling could have been. I tell you right now, the ceiling wasn't just 3 Super Bowls. I tell you that. It could have been more. But Jerry Jones definitely got in the way of that. Jerry Jones definitely getting in the way of that. It derailed it. But nonetheless, guys, hiring the right guys. Maybe Steve Jones, he's your son. And I understand he's done a pretty good job since he's in the reign. He's drafted Tyron, Travis Frederick, Zach Martin when Jerry Jones was pleading him, please draft Johnny Manziel. And we drafted Zach Martin. Drafted Ezekiel Elliott. He found Dak Prescott in the 4th round. So this guy has been able to do a good job managing the talent. But even that, I don't even think his son is the perfect guy for the job. There's better GMs out there. There's better guys that can find talent than your son. And I think because he's son is the reason why he has this job. So there's nothing else, guys. I already told you. First round, maybe. Maybe a damn playoff win. But that's it. Ain't no Super Bowl for as long as Jerry Jones is. And for as long as Jerry Jones owns the Cowboys, there won't be no Super Bowl in Dallas. Unless he hires the right guy. But knowing Jerry Jones for the past 30 years, ever since he's owned the team, he wants to be the guy. And that doesn't work. So there's nothing he can do. Maybe after his regime, maybe when he passes Stephen Jones' control of the Cowboys, maybe Stephen Jones can hire the right guy. So, because I'm pretty sure Stephen Jones, if he is handed the reins to the Dallas Cowboys, I'm pretty sure he's not going to just own and run the operations like he does. I'm pretty sure he'll have someone to come under him and do that. So if he can manage to hire the right guy, maybe you can get this back on track, because it's been done before, guys. We've seen teams be bottom feeders for 10, 15 plus years, and the right guy comes in and changes the organization up. We've seen it with the Browns. We've seen it with the Broncos. We've seen it with the 49ers. We've seen it before. So I'm not going to sit here and say that the Cowboys can never reach a Super Bowl again, because it's been done. It's possible. But as far as them reaching it under Jerry, yeah, it's curtains for us fans. So as long as Jerry Jones is the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, I almost promise you the Cowboys will not touch another Super Bowl.
I actually disagree. The list you did was wrong. I'm going to tell you straight up, this is the quickest way for Dallas to be great again. You feel me? It's the quickest way, right? Jerry Jones is worth almost $9 billion. I wish I was his son. I wish I was. Fam, I wouldn't even work. The only way the Dallas Cowboys will be relevant again, right now, he cashes in that money. He goes by Tampa Bay. He goes by the Chiefs. He renames them Dallas. And from there, the only way Jerry Jones, in any way, shape, or form, can make this team great. Period. It don't matter who you bring in. It doesn't matter. Fam, it doesn't matter who you bring in. Do you want to know why? This roster is horrible. This is a bad roster. It's a bad roster. Okay, tell me your defense is good. Tell me, I want, like, look in the camera and tell me your defense is good. I'm asking you, can you? Okay, then. Now tell me Zeke looks like the same Zeke from 2-3 years ago. Can you? Okay, can you tell me Amari Cooper is truly that guy when I went out of way? He can't handle the pressure. Can you tell me that?
So
I'm giving you the opportunity. I'm giving you the opportunity. So if you disagree, please rebut me. Please.
So you don't believe that teams can't turn it around, because I clearly have given you three examples of organizations that were
bottom. I'm glad you said that. Over 10
years, dude.
I'm glad you said that. But the funny part about it is,
a few years ago, we agreed that we would never see the Browns.
In order for them to get where they were, guess what they did?
The right guy.
They had to retool.
In order to retool, Pride, you need the right guys to do the retooling. You can't have the same bad example because
then they gave the job to Freddie Kitchens and no one wanted Freddie Kitchens there. That's a horrible example, though.
Listen, you can't give a shitty chef better ingredients and expect
better food. Oh, yes, you can. You haven't met Gordon Ramsay. You have not met Gordon Ramsay. That I could poop on a plate, and that man will make me a 5-star gourmet meal, and I will eat it.
Listen,
Listen.
The Browns hired Stefanski in 2 years. They're now a contender in the AFC. The Bills, who were horrible for all those years that the Patriots were great, they made changes in the staff, and look at them now with Josh Allen, contenders in the AFC. Broncos. The Broncos, they were bottom feeders with Kyle Orton and dudes like Jake Cutler. They get the right guy in.
They didn't make any changes.
He brings in a better defense. And then the next year, he brings in Peyton Manning, and they get a Super Bowl. So it can be done.
Okay. When it comes to that Broncos thing, no one in the front office changed. No one changed. The only thing they did was bring in Peyton Manning. They're playing Peyton Manning with Tim Tebow.
Saints? What are you talking about?
They brought they swapped Peyton Manning for Tim Tebow. So if you're gonna act like, oh yeah, bro, no, bro, 100%, it was the offer that changed it. No, you're bugging. You're bugging. And I'm explaining why, JJ. I'm explaining why. They keep saying the right guy, right? They always say that. They always say, oh, we need the right guy. We need the right guy. My thing is, at some point, why isn't your team okay? But okay, so let me ask you a question. You guys were supposedly so great, right? You had a phenomenal team, right? Before Dak went down, what was your record last year? Okay, again, that's something you don't want to talk about. See, what was Zeke's production? How was it? Again, another conversation. Dallas fans
You can't just come in and say,
oh, yeah, if we bring in the right guy. Look, Bill Belichick can go over there, and you guys still won't have success. You can't just be like, oh, bro, you just need the right guy. That's not the case. Because, bro, you don't need the right guy. You need the right guys. Coaches and staff
don't make no difference.
Cool. Who's your number one quarterback?
I'm asking you a question. Coaches and GMs don't make a difference.
Listen, all right, let me get in here. I think we're being too literal about this. I think when Sander meant get the right guy, I think he meant get the right guys in general. Obviously, not one guy can make a difference. And I think it all starts with replacing the main guy, Jerry Jones, if we're talking about the Dallas Cowboys, because as long as he's owner, he's going to want the spotlight and he's going to be one in charge of everything. I think he needs to put somebody who actually, you know, who eats, breathes, and, you know, dines football. I think he's going to put somebody like that in charge and just take a step back and then have that person move all those quote unquote guys. This is not a 1 year fix. This is something that if you're going to really want an actual good Dallas Cowboys team, then you're going to have those guys implemented over a number of years, and maybe 5 years from now, you start seeing a difference in the culture. Maybe you got something going on if you got the right collection of staff members and stuff that. But it really also does come down to who you have on the field, and if those quote unquote upstairs guys could put the right guys on the field, then maybe you have a chance. But at the moment, I agree with Pride. The current staff that you have on the field isn't it right now. So you literally gotta take the whole 53 you got right now and just salvage it and try to start over with a new 53 and maybe make that work with a new cast of guys in the upstairs department that hopefully pick the right amount of guys this time around, because the current regime just isn't it. And maybe you just need a clean house, literally from upstairs down, just kind of like a whole relocation almost, because I just feel like the Dallas Cowboys just right now just isn't it, Fred.
100%, they're not like this. This roster, like, you can't just blame the front office. Like, is it the front office problem? Like, some of it, yeah. But at the same time, you said, ignore coaching. I don't know if he's talking to me. But the thing is,
everything that matters.
Like, this roster is really not phenomenal. It's not, it's really not great. Like, they're not, like, it's not. And for to just be like, oh, yeah, we changed the front office, we'll be fine. No, because yeah, defense is still a problem. Your offensive line is starting not only to get older, but more injury prone, which, again, like, we all understand this. If you got a solid offensive line, your quarterback will look great and your running back will look great. Doesn't matter. As long as you got that line that can protect them. The line is starting to get banged up and they're starting to get a little older. Zeke hasn't been the same. He hasn't been the same. And some of it is the fact that the Cowboys are always down. They have to throw. But even when they do give him the ball, his acceleration, like, he used to be a bulldozer. Like, he was baby Marshawn. His rookie and second year.
I am glad that he does look in great shape coming into the new year, though. This is the best shape he's been in since rookie year. So hopefully that makes some difference if the offensive line, you know, manages to stay up and give him some holes to run by.
Maybe. But again, that's
because, let's be real. He was fat last year.
He was fat, but I'm not just saying just last year. Even 2 years ago, like, he's kind of been like treading down.
He was a calling yard rusher two years ago.
And he looked the same.
I know what you mean.
So the thing is, if you just thought, oh yeah, 1,000 yard rusher, bro, he did not look the same. He got those 1,000 yards because there was a few games where he popped off, and then there were some games where he didn't look right. And if you can't say that, Quarterback inside top 10, running back inside top 10, linebackers among the best in the league, offensive line still around top 10. What are you talking about? So if you think name a better linebacking core than the Cowboys, I'll take Seattle's. I'll take the Bears. But again, their linebackers can't cover receivers. So then again, okay, top 10 running back. Well, first of all, it's crazy how all of a sudden Zeke now is a top 10 running back. It's funny how all of a sudden he's a top 10 running back. Okay?
But that's fine. Running back?
Keep that. Keep that.
He might
but understand something. Y'all had that last year, and what happened?
Bro, what happened? Come on. You can't just say that the offensive line was banged
okay, fine.
Up last year.
2 years ago.
They were banged
2 years
up.
Ago. What was the excuse 2 years ago?
Bro, he ran 1,000 yards, bro. What else did he want him to do? Run for 3,000? Like, dude, what he could do only what he's given the opportunity to do.
Like, linebackers is my line. I don't know how that's your line. Like, if we're just stating like if we're just stating the obvious and calling our lines, and fine, sky's blue. That's my line, I guess. But I mean, I don't understand it. I don't understand it. You go ahead. Look, go ahead. Your team is great. Your team is phenomenal. When just last year on Wednesday, you were the same dude who said that y'all be lucky if y'all win the division. You said y'all would win, and you said it would be horrible. So 1 minute,
we still
you guys
win the
barely have enough time to win the division. Now, all of a sudden, you guys are phenomenal. I just don't get
it. We were phenomenal, though.
I don't get it. No, you're trying to sell, though. Phenomenal. You're trying to sell that now, though. You're trying to sell it now. You're trying to sell, Zeke is this phenomenal back. And it's like, bro, he's been on the downward. On the past years, he's been on the decline.
Guys, we'll move on from this topic before people start putting words in each other's mouths. But I will say this, though. Jerry Jones, I know you miss being on the top of the world. It's harder than it looks, bro. You just walked into a good team. It's time to rebuild again. But I do want to move on to Houston, Texas, because now the Texans are saying, you know what? We'll start listening for phone calls for Deshaun Watson. We all know that he still has those allegations thrown his way. And there's nothing definitive yet in stone when it comes to, you know, what came out of the public cases. But at least the Texans will entertain conversations. You know, we're saying that the opening bid for Deshaun Watson is about, you know, 3 first-rounders and maybe a potential couple twos. And I don't know, Pride, that's kind of steep if you ask me. But nonetheless, Deshaun Watson is a phenomenal talent that doesn't grow on trees. But, you know, if he does end up getting dealt, which teams do you think will be aggressive to grab Deshaun Watson?
Well, first and foremost, sign's got to be up. Sign's got to be up.
Sign,
ain't
right?
No way, ain't no way Texas now all of a sudden was like, yeah, we'll trade him. He shows up to trade him. All of a sudden, it's like, yeah, we'll trade him now. Like, yeah. That tells me that I forgot her name, but the lady who was investigating on behalf of the NFL, she must have found something, right? I mean, there's no way the Texans now all of a sudden is like, yeah, well, not now, this is what we want for him. Like, she must have found something.
Either good or bad.
It has to be good. It has to be good. Because if it's bad, you just said Cowboys need a quarterback, right? If you're going to tell me Dak Prescott, you'd rather have Dak Prescott than Deshaun Watson, I'm just not talking to you anymore, period.
He's not saying that.
100%
not saying that.
But I think what Jared is implying is that, oh, we need a quarterback, right? So what if we had Deshaun Watson instead of Dak Prescott?
I mean, get him. Get him. This kid is a phenomenal freaking talent. Cowboys just trade Zeke.
You have to trade that.
That makes zero sense. Because why trade Zeke and then have two quarterbacks?
Yeah, question mark. Sense.
Anyway,
let's get back to it.
This kid is phenomenal. Like, I love me some Deshaun Watson. Outside of what he's accused of doing, outside of that, let me just specify that. Because now every time you say you like Deshaun Watson, you gotta add that caveat. Because every time you say you like Deshaun Watson, immediately they come at you goes, oh, what about what he did? So
yep.
I like him on the field. He's a great talent. Cowboys, Patriots. I mean, maybe the Chargers, if they feel like they're ready, maybe. If you put Deshaun Watson on that Chargers team, again, you're going to have to, if you're in the Chargers organization, you're going to have to weigh something. You're going to have to be like, do we want to get him? Do we want to keep Watson? Or would we rather continue with this young kid who's trending in the right direction?
And let's be real. If you got him, you could definitely flip Justin Herbert.
Fast.
New Orleans, man.
So,
New Orleans.
But, not only New Orleans, the 49ers. I would say Green Bay, but now Aaron Rodgers is coming back for that for the 1 year. I mean, there are some teams, but the asking price they wanted, it was wild. They said they wanted at least three. The Cowboys should trade the whole team for Deshaun Watson. I mean, you'll need more than that because y'all barely have anything anyway. I mean, no one wants Amari's massive contract. I mean, Zeke, sure. I mean, Broncos, I mean, maybe. I mean, him on the Broncos.
They're out of the ring. They're out of the ring for Rodgers. That's why. So.
Yeah, that's not too bad. But at the same time, it's like you got to really sit down and think. What team is going to be willing to give them? They wanted at least three first-round picks and two starting caliber players. Let me say that one more time. At least three first-round picks and at least two players that starting caliber. I love Deshaun, but listen, man, you ain't finna New York Knick me, not boo boo. And for y'all who don't understand what that reference is, when Melo was in Denver, he wanted to get traded. Hey, yo, Denver, excuse my friends, raped and pillaged the entire New York team. When Melo got there, it looked like the scene from Will Smith from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air when he was in the living room all by himself, nothing around, talking about. So that's their starting point. Notice that's what they're starting with. Would it make sense for teams to go for him? Yes. But with all the stuff that they want, it's like teams are like, and again, Deshaun made it clear, I'm not playing here. He's made that perfectly clear. So I guarantee some teams are thinking, hey, yo, why trade? Bide our time. They might have to release them before the trade deadline.
Hey.
That's a lot of cheddar. They're going to have to keep paying this man fully guaranteed. That's a lot of cheddar. What? For him to be AWOL? For him to be elsewhere? For him to be in Cancun? That's a lot of cheddar to be paying a dude for that. And some teams are probably thinking, yo, they cut him? And we could get him, lose nothing, and pay for him? Like what? 13 cents on the dollar? Yeah, 100%. If smart team, bro, like, if you're a smart team, that's what you're doing. You're waiting for them to release them. That's what you're waiting for. Because the thing is what they're asking for, bro, fam. Like, it's the amount of stuff, why don't you want me, man? No, you're being mean to me. I have feelings, okay? You almost have me crying, all right? You're very mean to me. But for Deshaun, man, for what team – there's a lot of teams in the play, but at the same time, once you start seeing what they want, that pool starts to vanish, and it starts to close. And now you're looking at teams like the only teams that can really give you what you want are like bottom teams. That's really it. But the bottom teams don't really have the type of dudes that they want. They have the draft picks, but they don't have the players. So it's like, you know, they're kind of in a tough spot. So unless they change their mind and say, you know what, we're willing to negotiate, they're probably just going to have to release them because with what they're asking, fam, they want like $100,000 for a beat up pickup truck. It's like, yo, you trying to finesse me, bro? Not to say he's a beat up truck, but I'm trying to say what they want is ridiculous. So
a Ferrari,
I mean, if I'm them, 100%. If I'm other teams, I'm waiting because if you get released and I can stitch them up for cheaper and lose nothing, that's the best. That'll be my best bet if I'm running a team.
Yeah, no, I don't think he's going to get traded yet. But if there are teams that are going to push for New Orleans, get on the phone and get off the phone until you have that trade. Because you want two starting caliber players. Guess what? New Orleans got a few. They're two quarterbacks in Taysom Hill and Jameis Winston. You want the draft pick? Go ahead. They for you too. It's all about, listen, you want to move right now while the stove is hot. Listen. I think the Texans are a little bit desperate right now. I believe so, because if he does walk and they don't get nothing out of it, they're going to be in a shitty position anyways. So you might as well get it right now. If New Orleans gets on that phone, maybe San Francisco, they drafted the kid out of college, so I just don't know. But nonetheless, Deshaun Watson is a SEC boy. He's from that area. He played in Auburn. He's very familiar with down south. And New Orleans would feel just like home. And you're telling me Deshaun Watson with Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara? Oh, my God. That right there would be the dream landing. And guess what? It wouldn't be – It would be your questions at quarterback would be answered 100% for this year, next year. Basically, you're giving up 3 round picks for Deshaun Watson. That's what your draft pick is gonna be. Because guess what? I don't think there's going to be a draft pick that New Orleans can get in the next 3 years that can amount to someone like Watson. So if I'm New Orleans, maybe Denver, because now that Aaron Rodgers is for sure going to at least play one season, Denver kind of wants to put asses to the seat. So maybe Denver could push their chips all in, but New Orleans might be my choice for a dream landing spot for Deshaun Watson. Cowboys, yeah, but even with the Cowboys, he's going to be working with shit and vomit. So it really doesn't make it any better. He'll probably be in the same situation that he was with Houston. So go to a guy like Sean Payton who can just straight up elevate your play like New Orleans, like he did with Drew Brees, like he did with Michael Thomas and Kamara. That would be the spot. If I'm New Orleans, I am not getting off the phone until Deshaun Watson is rocking jersey and a press conference the next day. That's what I'm doing. So, because I get your point, Pride, to wait for next season. Guess what? Houston isn't going to wait till next season. He's a free agent. They're going to want to push their chips now because they want something in return. They don't want a talent because you and I are both saying Deshaun Watson is as talented, if not a little bit more talented than Patrick Mahomes. So if he's that type of talent, then teams like New Orleans who have quarterback questions, everything else is set. That's that should push all their chips in more than the Denver Broncos who was going all in for Aaron Rodgers. So New Orleans, bro, this is the time right now because hey, you could wait a season for him to be a free agent. But like I said, you're basically dependent on what Houston is going to do. And if Houston is any type smart, which they've shown they aren't, but if they're any type of smart, they would know that we either get rid of them now and get the most that we can or sit it out and be prideful and let them walk and not get shit for it. And I don't think Houston is a situation that they don't want to let a talent like that walk and get nothing for it because they already have nothing to start with. So at least get the draft capital, build like that, because you're not going to get this opportunity again if you're Houston. So like if I'm the New Orleans Saints, I'm pushing my chips in right now. And if I'm Houston Texans, I'm making that trade because I don't want him to walk for nothing.
Yeah, I think you guys both made great points. You know, like you said, you know, Deshaun Watson's, you know, arguably one of the best quarterbacks on the 25 that the game has right now. And if you got the means to get him, go get him. You know, a team that I feel like should really make a move and I think is flying under the radar. And if you guys had mentioned this team and I, you know, slipped by me, I'll apologize. And this is an organization that's known for making, you know, aggressive pushes. The Philadelphia Eagles. I feel like the Eagles should go out there and really make a push for Deshaun Watson. Oh, yeah, they got Jalen Hurts. Listen, they already showed you they ain't scared about hurting another quarterback feelings because they drafted Jalen Hurts when they had Carson Wentz and they didn't give a shit about it. And now Carson Wentz is in Indianapolis, happy as hell. And now Jalen Hurts, now he's here like, all right, I guess I'll make work with whatever I got here. But listen, Philly's in a position where they actually have a good spot via draft capital. You know, they're not projected to do very well in the next future. So they're looking at top 10, top 15. You know, draft position come next few drafts, considering the roster that they have, their older team. And if Deshaun landed there, he'll definitely be working with, like you said, shit and vomit, basically. But essentially, your quarterback position will be very, it'll be solidified for at least the next 10 years. And let's be honest, Deshaun Watson lands in Philly, guys, he's the best quarterback in that division by default. You know what I mean? He's easily the best quarterback in the NFC East. And just that alone could get you possibly to a good division record and possibly a home playoff game because you know how it goes in the NFL in that manner. So if I'm Philly, I'll be very interested in making that push. They just ended up getting the kid that I love out of Alabama, Devontae Smith. You know, I think that he's going to be a stud. I doubt they'll let him go in any bargaining chip. But I think that if you were to get a guy like that with Deshaun Watson, Philly, make that phone call, Pride, because – you know, this division is always up for grabs because there's never consistency in it. And if you're able to put yourself in a position where you have the best quarterback in the division, make it happen.
I mean, yeah, but Philly don't really have much they can give. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I mean, they'll have the draft picks. But don't forget, right now, Houston also, on top of that, wants two starting caliber players.
Give him all Fletcher Cox. Give him all Brandon Graham. They're good for a few seasons and not, you know.
But the problem is, I don't think they'll want guys old. I don't think they're going to want guys like that.
You said a starter.
I mean, true. Maybe if they can finesse it, they could pull something off. But the thing is like, I just don't see, and the same thing with the Saints, I don't see that either, because the only guys they could really move is Jameis Winston, who I like him, right? But we've seen him go 50-50, right? And that's something that you kind of just...
You got Marshawn Lattimore, but that's a big piece you'll be willing to part ways with.
I'm not touching Marshawn Lattimore. Like, there's certain guys in that organization that's like untouchable. And basically, the only two guys who they're willing to ship out no problem is Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill. But who's really gonna want?
And it might cost you Kamara.
That's another scary, because I guarantee you they're gonna say, okay, no problem. You want Deshaun? We want Alvin. Like, that's the starting point. And it's like, if you're the Saints, is that something you're willing to give up? Is that something you're willing to say? Sure, which I'm not. Like, honestly, I'd rather keep Jameis. He's a turnover machine. But if you can cut those picks to 20 or 25 and you give him Alvin Kamara, who's like one of the best receiving backs in the league, and you give him Michael Thomas, I mean, you know what I mean? Like, the Saints aren't pressured to do it. So I think, I mean, if they could do it, and the Texans would take their picks, and they would take Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill, sure. But I don't think they're gonna do that. I don't think so. Because think about it. Not a lot of people like the whole Taysom Hill gimmick thing. Not everyone's a fan of it, and Texans one of them.
I hear you 100% on that. But check it out though. Usually when teams, they want to ask for like extended pieces of draft capital, it's because they know they're in the shitter. They know that they're not going to be competing anytime soon. So their best case scenario is be a bottom feeder for the years that they got those picks so they can make sure they have a good draft pick. Adding a guy like Kamara into that trade would be unnecessary, because you're getting a great asset to be in a terrible situation. So you're not even going to utilize the best of Kamara, even if you get him in a trade. So that's why I think if New Orleans can offer a team who's basically going to be in rebuild mode for the next 4 or 5 years, because let's keep it real, I don't see Houston Texans moving on from this and then becoming a contender in 3 years. They're for sure going to be bottom feeders for at least the minimum of 5 seasons. So get this capital, get the draft capital, and you know you're going to suck. So there's no there's really, it would be an unnecessary want or need for Houston Texans to try and win a guy like Kamara in a trade involving Watson, because even they're not going to get the best out of him. So just go ahead and rebuild like you are planning on doing, and maybe you'll hit in the draft, because listen, 3 first-round picks is not something to sneeze at. That's definitely a really good package for a quarterback who doesn't want to play for you. So get now, because I guarantee you, if they try and beat the situation next offseason, they're not going to get anything close to it. So get it now.
I don't know. I don't see, like, the thing is, you're saying, oh, they have nothing. That's the same thing as Deshaun going to the Broncos. They, like you said, Broncos should make a play because they want to put butts in seats. Well, I mean, Texans, yeah, if we don't stink, we might as well have some highlight. We might as well have something that the people can see, which is probably what the Houston Texans are thinking when they say we want two starting players. They kind of want somebody, probably on the offensive end, that's like, wow, we got to watch them. Like, something that'll make them relevant. Even if they're going to suck, even if they're going to be horrible, something that's going to be like, okay, yeah, they're bad, but, yo, they got – or if they can finesse Michael Thomas. Yo, you saw that receiver, Mike Thomas? Damn, that fool bad. Or if they get a
running back. He's hurt. Like, I don't think
he – well, he's on the PUP list. He's starting hurt, but he's going to be fine. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think he's only going to be out for a few weeks, and then he'll be back. So – but even so, like, I don't know. It's just, to me, based on what they want, honestly, nobody can give them what they want. What they're asking is like
3 first-round picks.
They want so much for a guy who's phenomenal. Don't get me wrong, but dude's not even gonna give that for Patrick Mahomes. And like a lot of people think he's better. So it's like, if they're not giving it to Patrick Mahomes, what makes you think he said this? I'm mad. That's not how the trade works. Facts, yo. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yo, Bill O'Brien must still be working there. 100%. This dude definitely ain't got fired, bro. Because that's a Bill O'Brien move. Talking about, oh yeah, but let me get over there. And it's wild to me how they did that. And then they got Duke Johnson for D-Hop. But that's again.
Yeah,
it's weird, but
nonetheless, guys, you know, I think you nailed it prior to start of the soliloquy. They must know something that we don't know for this news to be coming out, mm-hmm. because now all of a sudden he's on the market. But we will be keeping an eye on Deshaun Watson as we have for the last few months, because at least now we, like you said, something's out, something is known. But something that we do know for sure now is that Aaron Rodgers will at least play this season with the Packers. You know, it came out saying that he'll play there. But still, Davante Adams came and he was like, you know, well, I'm still looking to, you know, make a move if it's still on the table, which kind of implies to me, Sander, you know, Aaron Rodgers might have told Davante on the side, like, yeah, I'm here for a year, but I'm out next year. But, you know, it's, pieces are still there, though. They'll be together for this year. Do you think that the Packers can make a championship run this year together?
100%. If Rodgers is there, he can definitely make a championship run. But guess what? They might come up short because they're going to meet the guys in Tampa again. And that's the game that everybody's going to be waiting for this season. So guess what? And as far as you touched on what this means for Davante Adams, it doesn't mean that he's going to sign a 3-4 year deal. It means that he's also going to want and work out a deal that pays him to this season and gives him the option of whether he wants to play for the Packers after this season. Because guess what? Davante Adams knows once Rodgers is gone, his numbers most likely are going to dip, because I don't have any faith in the kid Jordan.
Let's keep it on point, standard. If Rodgers is out, I'm out too.
Absolutely. That's why they post that picture together that was so eloquently put together with them. No caption needed. We already know what that picture said. We said last dance, and that's what's going to be. One last run to guess what? Maybe give Packers more shine, because to be honest, yes, they'll have a title run, but do we really think they're going to beat Tampa Bay? I think so. I just don't think that they have enough to beat Tampa Bay. So, nonetheless, though, it'll be a nice, beautiful run to the NFC title game, but that's where it's going to end. And that's where we're going to see Aaron Rodgers play his best game for the Green Bay Packers, because he's gone. I said this to you guys a while before. He is gone. Right. I get it. I understand that I said that there was nothing that could be said. I get it. I was wrong for that, because if they would have fired Gutekunst months ago, he would have been there. But guess what? I think right now, even if they fire Gutekunst tomorrow, I don't think Aaron Rodgers would have been like, I'm here to stay. I'm here for a 3-year deal. I don't think it would have happened.
Nah, he wouldn't have.
I don't, maybe you guys think that. I don't think so. I don't think he would. But nonetheless, guys, that's all this is. This is all just one season. We're going to have a talk coming up during the season. Where do you think he's going to go? Especially if this thing goes south. If this thing goes south, Green Bay, oh, man, we're going to have a field day talking about it. Because we're just going to talk about basically the biggest disappointment. You were supposed to come and save Green Bay and bring them to the championship for your last year, and you fell short. So this can go either way for both teams. I don't think they will fall, but if they do fall, it's going to look bad on both sides. It really is. It really, because it was just a big distraction the entire offseason when they could have had this resolved and sorted out a long time ago, months ago. But the disrespect has been blatant, and the fact that he turned down a contract that could have made him the highest paid player in NFL history, not just quarterback, the fact that he turned that down, it's more read between the lines. It's not just like everybody is right there playing sight for everybody to see. You really have to read between the lines.
Can I just say on that point, it just reminded me of when the Houston Rockets offered James Harden that $50 million. That it was the 2-year, $100 million extension, essentially giving him $50 million a year, making him the highest paid basketball player ever. And he was still like, nope.
Yeah, I'm out. Right, perfect. Exactly. So because at that point, guys, we're not talking about a guy who's trying to get his money. We're not talking about a guy who's just a regular in the NFL. This is a guy sitting pretty with over $200 million in the bank, trying to be the host of pretty one day. This is a guy who doesn't have the financial stress that a lot of other players would have in type of situations that would make him, like, basically make urge more or push more or harder. Look at Rodgers when he talks, guys. He's all relaxed, chill, beautiful. His actress wife or fiance, he's relaxed. This isn't a guy who's trying to push hard because he knows he doesn't need to be the one that's on his toes. It's the other guys. So if he, for sure, if they're gonna, if he comes back, JJ, it's a championship run, of course. But it's just for one. Just they better start making sure that they're getting ready for next season, life after Aaron Rodgers, because frankly, after Aaron Rodgers is gone, like you said, so is Adams, and so might other players that are on the Green Bay Packers, not just those two. You know, we got Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones due for a contract. He didn't resign. So that's their best running back.
He actually did, though. He did.
Oh, he did resign?
Yeah, he resigned during the offseason. I believe it was a 4-year deal.
Well, at least they're good there. They got a good starting player. But guys like that are due for contract, like Zaire Smith, Jair Alexander, their top corner, who's going to be doing a contract. He's a guy that's going to be looking at his situation like, do I want to deal with the sub-zero weather and we suck, or do I want to go somewhere warm and compete for a title? It's going to be like that. And without Gray there to have that type of pull, to keep those guys there to play for a contender, Green Bay's going to fall, and we're just going to be looking forward to see where Aaron Rodgers goes next season, because he has the choice to go wherever he chooses. So it's going to be very anticipated. It's probably going to be the decision number two with Aaron Rodgers.
Can they make a championship run? No. And honestly, it's once they lose one game, it's over. And everyone's going to start getting mad. Look, it came out that Aaron Rodgers told his closest friends and the people close to him that he planned on staying. I guess you forgot to tell his linemen. Because David Bakari ended up, he retweeted it and said, I guess we're not that close, huh? Like, yo, if you got your lineman,
they go to game
your together. Lineman straight up saying, we ain't like that, cool. When you got your lineman telling you that, 100% I'm not playing for you. That's it. That's it. Because they're my lifeline. If I'm a quarterback, that's my lifeline.
That's the left tackle, too. And Bakari, nice, too.
Yo, fam, bro. And the thing is, once they lose one game, it's gonna go to, because look, if this didn't happen, that's just a whole different conversation. But the fact that, like, Aaron Rodgers, in terms of how they look at him in the Packers organization, they look at him as a prima donna, and they look at him as he was being dramatic. That's how they're all looking at him. Now, I'm kind of in the middle. Like, I don't agree with him complaining, because he's been to how many NFC championship games? Close ones to, you know what I mean? So,
like I said,
but at the same time, I get the frustration, because think about it. Yo,
why are you mad for, bro?
Imagine being second, bro. Imagine being your dream girl's second option. Imagine being second in the big race. Imagine you being the second quarterback they wanted. Imagine, because you know what I mean? Like, they got Jordan Love, and he was in his feelings. Like, to court term, he was in his light-skinned feelings, bro. Because this dude was like, I hate it here. I want to go home. Like, he was tight. You know what I mean? But, like, the Packers right now, they're bending over backwards to make sure he gets what he wants. Like, so the whole deal, right? Because they reworked his old contract to bring him back for this 1 year, this hoorah. By the way, will Aaron Rodgers come back? I think he will if they win the Super Bowl. That's the only way Aaron Rodgers will come back. If they go out and win the Super Bowl, and he talks to Davante Adams and goes, hey, yo, how you feel about 2 more years? How you feel about another year? Then he'll stay. If they don't win the Super Bowl, he's going to be like, all right, bro. Like, yo, you know what you can kiss? I don't want to hear a word. So they got to win the Super Bowl if they want him back. But in order for his whole new deal. So basically, they voided the rest of his contract, and this incoming year is the final year of his deal, right? He cannot be tagged at all. So they ain't no back, like, you know, trick in their sleeve that they can pull out. they ain't got none of that. And then in it, at the end of the season, Aaron Rodgers, Brian, I'm not going to say it, But Brian Gutekunst, y'all know what I want to say. And their beloved Mark Murphy, they're going to have to sit down and evaluate the season. That doesn't mean nothing. You know what that means? We're going to sit here, we're going to evaluate. Are you going to make the decision to get Goofy out of here? That's what that means to me.
Yeah.
And look, they can go undefeated. They can go undefeated. Aaron Rodgers will sit down and be like, all right, he's going to be holding the Lombardi trophy and the Super Bowl MVP trophy. He's going to be chilling like, fire him. Straight like that. Like, that's the evaluation that they're going to have, right? So they're going to have that.
MVP too?
And then his contract gets adjusted. So it doesn't hurt the Green Bay's cap space, but Aaron Rodgers doesn't lose money. Basically what they're doing, this is the final year, but they're doing what Taysom Hill did. They it's like a secret extension where they sprinkled the money, but those years are voidable.
Yep.
So it's a weird thing. It's weird. Like, in the end, he's still getting all his
money. All the money was in the front. Now they could cut him.
Exactly. So now they're going to sprinkle it. So that way on cap, it'll be fine, but he'll still get his money. And then this is my favorite one. There are mechanisms in place to address the issues Aaron Rodgers brought up. Basically, Brian Gutekunst does not talk when Aaron Rodgers is around. He does not talk. He does not look. This dude is going to be a douchebag. He's wearing sunglasses indoors. He's looking at the ground. Give him an empty notebook and we'll have him read the lines. He's going to have a hat down low. No one's going to know who he is. When Aaron Rodgers is around, this dude gets escorted off the premises. He's practicing. Hey, O'Brien, work from home, fam. Work from home. Work from home. It's an away game. All right, you can do your work in the stadium. That's what that is.
You can work remotely when Aaron.
100%. And during these COVID times, you got to stay 6 feet away from Aaron Rodgers. And if you can't work remotely, that's how filthy they doing my man's right now. Well, he's not even my man's because I'm not a Packers fan. Thank God this ain't the New England Patriots organization, right? But in terms of can they go on a run? Even if they do somehow get by the greatest quarterback to ever grace God's green earth, the Thomas Edward Patrick Brady Jr., even if he somehow does that, you think he really beat the Chiefs, though? Like, let's say he somehow gets the chance. Is he beating the Chiefs?
He'll have a chance, bro.
Yeah, same as I have the chance of touching rim if I jump. Like, it's like, no, there ain't no chance. If you want to call it a puncher's chance, all right, fine. Because, it's the NFL. Anything can happen. We lost the Giants twice. So, I ain't going to say nothing's impossible. But are you comfortable enough to put money on it? Are you that comfortable? Yeah.
And I feel the same way. And I feel the same way, probably, just because you are the Packers, you have the Buccaneers standing in your way. And I feel like Tom Brady and the Bucs are just going to be better year two than they are year one. But I will say this, now that we know that Aaron Rodgers is going to be a Packer, I do have them as second favorites coming out of the NFC because – he is that good, and this team has been long enough together that they know what they're doing together, and they will be contenders as they should be. But I have a little crystal ball around here. I can't find it right now, which I had it close by, because I saw two outcomes to the season, and I think you're going to like both of them, and both of them actually end very poorly for the Packers. One, damn. Which one do you want to hear? You want to hit option A or option B first?
I want to hear the worst one first.
The worst one. All right, because I'm always saying this is the worst one because it has the highest peak.
Okay.
The Packers win a Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers wins Super Bowl MVP. Everything is good, and still they walk away. Not only Devontae Adams, but Rodgers. They both leave them high and dry and say peace to them. They go get their money. And the other option is where Gutekunst gets the last laugh, and he's going to trade Devontae Adams at the deadline just to fuck over Aaron Rodgers one last time. Just to tell him, you know what? I'm going to lose my job. Regardless, so before I leave, I'm gonna make sure that I spit on you real quick, and then I'm gonna get fired because I know you're gonna stink it up the rest of the year. Because you already know, Gutekunst, let's go, Devontae Adams in the middle of the season.
He's fired.
He's gonna cry. He's gonna pout. He's gonna make sure that this team does not make the playoffs on purpose. You know what I mean?
He might fight
Gutekunst on purpose on the field. He's gonna go up to the suite and put hands on this man. But nonetheless, both end tragically for the Packers. I just feel like the end that we're looking at we've seen the beginning of the end for Aaron Rodgers with the Packers. But this is really where it's going to really start ticking up the speed because I don't see a scenario where Aaron Rodgers next year is a Packer in any way.
Yeah, I get it. If they win a Super Bowl, I think there's a chance.
No, I think that he's gonna leave him high and dry. They're gonna be like, all right, you see,
here's
he gonna say, I wasn't the problem, and then go peace.
Well, I mean, if I'm Aaron Rodgers and you want to be spiteful, you know what I'm gonna do? Straight up, I'm gonna win. I'm gonna be like, you know what? You fire him, I'll stay. Right? I'm not signing the contract. Let him fire him. Then find the worst GM. Then be like, yo, Mark, you gotta sign this man to a 4-year guaranteed deal now, and I promise I'll sign. Sign him and be like, oh, by the way, I don't like the weather. Bye. And then, if I'm Aaron Rodgers, bro, I'm setting him up for life. And on the way, well, I'm passing by DeAndre Adams. I'm gonna be like, hey, yo, fam, we out. He gonna be like, yes, sir. We'll be out too. Like that. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, but I don't think Aaron Rodgers is out fully. I think he's like 95% out the door. I think if they win the
Super Bowl, I will bet you a pack of Skittles.
I'm not that confident.
He will not be a Packer next year.
I'm not that confident, so I'm not gonna bet. I'm just saying there's a remote chance. I'm saying because yo, Light said, oh, you know, they have a puncher's chance against the Chiefs. Well, I'm saying there's a puncher's chance that he could stay if they win, and then during this evaluation. If Aaron Rodgers sits down, doesn't say a word, and they fire him on the spot, and then say, yo, Aaron, you get to pick the next guy, maybe. But again, that's a soft maybe. I'm not 100% sure, because for all we know, Aaron Rodgers could just be like, fam, I'm just doing this for Adams. For all we know, that he could just be like, yo, that's my boy right there. I have vibes with him. I'm just doing this for Davante Adams. That could be a possibility. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying the door's not all the way shut. I just think it's like you're barely getting win in the house.
Yeah. Nonetheless, you know, if you're a Packer fan, you could take that sigh of relief. And our buddy Charlie's a big Packers fan, so now I know he's happy that Aaron Rodgers will at least be under center for this upcoming season. After that, it's on the table, guys. But I do want to transition to the MLB before we start wrapping up our show, because now there's a new team in Cleveland, and you might have known them as the Indians before, but they are now, wait for it, the Guardians. They're the Cleveland Guardians, the new team in Cleveland. I'm not, you know, I wish that LeBron would have tweeted something about this back in his hometown, because I'm looking at it and I feel like my eyeballs still haven't adjusted to it. I like the whole CG thing, but that part right there, that G is just a little tacky, yeah. Sander. I don't know. I'm not the biggest fan of it. Usually I let you guys give me your opinions first, but I'm going to say it first. I don't like it. I don't know. It's just freaking weird to me. But what you think, Sander? You like it, love it, hate it? What you think?
Nah, I don't like it at all. I'm not going to say I hate it, but it's at least better than what they had before. Thank God that they're finally changing these derogatory terms. We saw Washington football team do it first, and now we see Cleveland do it, so I'm happy for that. But the Cleveland Guardians, man, you guys could have came up with so many other different names. And the funny thing is that they're now fighting with another Cleveland Guardian team that was the Cleveland Guardians in 2011. Some blading team, but that's still not here nor there. I don't really like it, Jay, because it, like you said, it is tacky. Like the Guardians, what are you guarding? You're not really guarding anything but that ugly
guard. LeBron doesn't live in Cleveland anymore. What is their guard?
Exactly. You're not guarding the king. Exactly. I mean, nonetheless, I think it's a little too tacky, honestly. It really is. It sounds like a minor league team. It really does. The Cleveland Guardians. Like, even their logo, if you look at the new era caps, dude, they're all ugly. The dad hats are ugly. The logo, everything about it is ugly. I don't hate it, but I don't like it one bit. They could have gone something way better.
I think I'm buying a jersey. I'll tell you that right now, bro. But here's the thing. I'm in the minority of this. I don't think the name was that bad. Like, Indians, I think the logo was the problem, because they portrayed the logo. And this is going to sound like, you know, it's a slur that they call them, a red skin. Like, that was the problem. Like, if they kept it Indian, and they had Washington football team, their old logo, where it was just a normal Native American. Like, I feel like if they did that, it would have been fine.
They're trying to get rid of the Native American in general.
Yeah, I get, but you know, I understand. I mean, what I would have done, I would have left the Indian, and then I would have kind of just to touch roots, like, you know, where are we from? What Indians were here? Okay, let's make a logo, you know, inspired by them to, you know, kind of, you know, to show that we're not trying to be rude. You know, we're trying to pay some homage. You know what I mean? But, you know, the Guardians, I mean, You know what? This reminds me. This is what I used to do in school when I forgot to do my homework and I'm on the bus. It's a bumpy ride and I'm just randomly filling stuff in to make it look like I did it. Like, this is so, like, no thought was put in this. They were like, quick, what are you doing? And somebody was playing Destiny and they got their main character is the Guardian, for those who don't know, right? And it was like, Guardian, come with me. And it was like, we got it. That's it. Like, that's what happened here, bro. Because to put, what are they guarding? I mean, look, man. You're poo-poo.
Does Gloria James still live in Cleveland?
She must.
Does she still live there? Because maybe she's worth guarding, but how much do we love Baker Mayfield? We got to defend him?
I mean,
maybe Nick Chubb. I'll guard Nick Chubb, but.
Sure. But again, change the whole team for him? I don't know. I mean, I'll say I like it if I have to pick one. You know, I definitely don't love it. I don't hate it. They should have just stayed with Indians, done something nice to, you know, pay homage to the type of Indians who lived in the Cleveland area at the time. Like, you know, back then, that's what I would have done. I'm not going to knock them because, you know, they're trying to move forward and all that stuff. That's fine. But Guardians, come on, fam. I could have done better. Call yourself, the Cleveland Pioneers or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it ain't for me, Sway. It really is not. Like, I look at this and, like I said, even on
that's the what ruins it, though.
Even it's on that hat,
ruins it.
I hate it.
It's like Goodyear logo. That's what it looks like—the Goodyear tire logo.
Yo, like it's you know what I just. The Guardians is not that bad, but when I see the logo and combine it,
it's the logo.
I think it's the logo that ruins it. Because at some point, you're like, you put wings on a ball. It's like, congratulations. What is that? How the ball's gonna look like every time you pitcher someone sends it 450 dead center? Is that what we're doing? We're just giving previews of how doodoo you guys gonna be like.
I just feel like we're going to need some adjusting to come out the tongue. Cleveland Guardians. I don't know. It's just weird.
It don't fit right with me. I'm just saying Cleveland.
The Cleveland baseball team. It was better off like that to me. They just would have done that.
To be fair, we don't talk about Cleveland like that anyway. So I don't think it's really going to bother us like that. You know what I mean? Last time we really cared, Guardian is the name to the city's eight art deso sculptures dubbed the Guardians of the Traffic that stand at the Hope Memorial Bridge. Thank you for that. There is some
I still think they should have won with the baseball team. That's just me. Just sounds a little better to me than
Cleveland baseball team.
Cleveland Athletics.
Something. I mean, there's already an Athletics, so we couldn't do that. But look,
keep Guardians.
They could have done better than that.
Just change the logo. You can keep Guardians. Change the logo, bro. Just have a Drax guy with like a shield.
Put Drax up there. Or
listen. If we were able to bully the directors of Sonic to change the damn graphics, we could do this with the Guardians.
100%.
So I need all the nerds to go out there and sign a petition or something, and we could change this damn thing because it ain't for me. Please change it. But it's Monday, and we do got to catch up with our Blazing Prediction brought to you by Rocky Hill Accountants with over 35 years of combined experience. Make sure that you have licensed professionals handling your financials. Make sure you guys let them know that her friend that asked for Haiti, let her know how her friend that Chloe Chris Media Group sent you, especially the boys from Show the Pot Sports, you know, because we got your back, girl. You know, and Standard, you know, we didn't have a show on Friday, but you were great and still get handed us out a Blazer prediction. So touch up on that. How'd that go?
Oh, yeah. Well, this Saturday we had a great FC card led by TJ Dillashaw and Corey Sandigan. That's a conversation we'll have for another day. But my girl Macy Barber made an appearance on the card. She fought Miranda Maverick in a very competitive fight. Girls coming off win streaks. Both girls are trying to make their names in that division. And Macy Barber, the uprising star, came through with the delivery, and she's gonna get most likely a top five fight after this. I'm excited for her, because she's coming off three wins after a bad, bad loss, a surprise loss that she took, that we were all surprised that she lost that. But nonetheless, she's on a roll. I'm happy for her. She got the dub. She got me the dub, baby.
Yeah, no, that was also a very great performance for her. And Pride actually touched up on the TJ fight yesterday during Pride primetime discussions. You know, if you guys want to touch on that real fast, you know, where does that put him in championship contenders, Pride?
Well, I said this. If I'm TJ, when Aljamain Sterling finally decides to fight, clown, and I said what I said and I meant it. When he finally decides to fight, right? When he finally decides to, he's going to want Piotr Jan. So if I'm TJ, I'm going for Piotr Jan. Because if he can beat Piotr Jan, He's washing Sterling. It's not even going to be a fight. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you right now, if Sterling fights TJ, don't. It's not even worthy paying $60, bro. Because you're spending more money than it is time in the fight. That's it. Yeah. TJ's going to embarrass him. He's going to send him back. Like, everyone was like, oh, my God, the fight in the division. It's Petr Yan versus Aljamain Sterling. No, it's not. Never was. Everyone wanted him to be that guy so bad. Unfortunately, he's a guy. They call him Funk Master. Bro, he smells like funk. The dude is horrible. I don't care. People wanted to push him so bad. No, because, Jenny, I get so triggered, bro, because this dude is the same dude who goes, this title doesn't matter. And then he's taking a picture of the belt in the fridge. It's like, what are you doing, you moron? Like, I don't know who's dumber, him or Dustin, talking about, yo, you got to kiss my whole asshole. By the way, I need donuts. Like, I don't know who's dumber right now. But if I'm TJ, if Aljamain Sterling is still out, I'm fighting Petr Yan. And I'm trying to get that. Now, Uncle Dana's going to give it to him. Uncle Dana, because Dana loves him, obviously. Because if Dana didn't love him, he wouldn't be fighting the number two guy. I thought Corey Sandhagen won. It was a close fight. But if I'm Corey, you're got to fight whoever he doesn't fight, whoever TJ doesn't fight, you need to fight him, whether it be Rob Font or go up in Petr Yan, because you need to show you still deserve the number two next to your name. You need to prove to that to people. So you need to fight either the guy under you, which is Rob Font, who's number three, or fight the guy above you, Petr Yan, which I don't know if Yan's going to fight him, because Yan was like, hey, yo, this is my division, TJ, come see me. You feel me? So it's going to be tough, but I mean, I wouldn't be mad with TJ versus Petr Yan. I think that would be a good fight. I really do. And then the winner could go fight Sterling whenever he finally feels like fighting again.
Yeah. You want to touch on that?
Yeah, it definitely was a good fight. You know, very surprising. A lot of people had TJ Dillashaw out of the fight because of his absence. A lot of people were underestimating his talent. And let's be real, even though TJ Dillashaw was a champion before, we didn't think he was like a phenomenal world beater. He just managed to do what he needed to do with the title. But guess what? When he came back, he showed a lot of heart, took a lot of hits from Corey Sandhagen. And what got him the win was making sure that he got the takedown. He's 2 for 6 in attempts. But nonetheless, he had 2 takedowns to Corey Sandhagen's none. And that's really what got him the dub. A lot of the positioning, a lot of the hits to the legs, when that counts to these inexperienced judges who judge these fights, who honestly, that's a whole nother conversation. The judging is horrible. Always has been, and it will be unless they get guys who past fighters or know the mixed martial arts game to judge these fights, we're going to continue seeing robberies. So I'm not going to even touch on the judges anymore. But nonetheless, for TJ Dillashaw, maybe he gets Yan. Or I would like to see TJ Dillashaw fight a Rob Font who's coming off a dub and make sure prep him. If he could get through Rob Font, maybe for sure he could get through Petr Yan and fight the clown Sterling, who, since he's won the title, I've lost all respect for this kid. Before that fight, I had respect for the kid.
Was Sterling the one that Yan need?
Yes.
Yes.
That was him. Ready to hear the funny part? I just want JJ, you and I both said we don't respect him. Light came at us with such hatred and vitriol that if words can kill, JJ, the show would be over because we were dead.
Yeah, 100%.
Now, all of a sudden, 100%. You see the light.
Because this is what it was. If the guy continued with the mentality that he had when he won the title, like, damn, you know, this really isn't a win, and he would have kept that energy and had that humbleness, like, look, I understand I'm the champion right now, but I need to beat Petr Yan for real to be the champ. If he would have had that mentality, I wouldn't be feeling the way I feel about him. But since he won the title and posting and writing captions like me and Bay, look at me, like, dude, you are a complete buffoon, bro. You are a complete buffoon because you were getting your ass kicked that fight. And if it wasn't for the knee, you would have took that L. Okay. 100%. So ever since that loss, I've lost all respect for Sterling. If he does, if TJ beats Yan, you are 100%. He walks Sterling. He walks through Sterling for the title. But now the question is, what's after that? Because like we said, if TJ goes on that run and gets the title, it means we're going to have to see the best of TJ that we've never seen. And at this age, coming off a 2-year layoff, that's real difficult to do, especially in that division when you got killers. So Can he make a title? Maybe, but he's gonna have to go through a few list of top guys. And guess what? Before he gets a title shot, I want to see him against Garbrandt. I think Garbrandt needs that fight. I think Garbrandt needs that fight to just sit well with him, even if he loses that fight. The fact that he took that fight, not knowing he was on PEDs or EPOs, whatever the hell Dillashaw took, and just was completely destroyed during that fight, and even more so mentally after the fight when it came out that he took steroids. That fight, yeah. Garbrandt needs that fight. Give it to Garbrandt.
But the thing is, Garbrandt needs the fight, but TJ's really not in the business for that fight. That's kind of where, like, it gets a little iffy, because in TJ's mind, he don't really care about no one. He just wants to get the belt he lost. So, I mean, if he's willing to fight Cody, hey, I'll watch it. But, I mean, especially with, like you said, with his age and everything, this is going to be his last chance to get a title.
Last
to
run. Put
the title shot. This is going to be it. So, if he's, you know what I mean? So, I don't know if he's going to want to, but it's going to be interesting what Uncle Dana does with his new favorite nephew, now that Connor broke his leg.
Nonetheless, guys, we always keep tags of what Dana does, because Dana gives us great cards most times, but that's going to be a conversation for another day. We're Stir the Pot Sports. Make sure you guys follow us on our Facebook and Instagram pages at Stir the Pot Sports. Also, make sure you guys follow us on Twitter at Stir the Pot Sport and on Twitch.tv/Clovercrest Media Group. Make sure you guys check out the website to check out all our episodes on clovercrestmedia.com/Stir the Pot Sports. And also, make sure you guys could give us a listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts under CMG Sports. Stir the Pot Sports will be right there, guys. But yeah, it's Monday, guys, and like I said, I'm so happy that the NFL is coming out with stories now, because I've missed football since we saw the last snap of the Super Bowl, and I just can't wait for it to come back.
Can we talk about how you guys were giving Patrick Mahomes an excuse for turf toe when my guy Thomas Edward Patrick Brady Jr. played the whole season on a torn MCL? I'm sorry, it's too soon. I'm sorry.
Sander was like,
I'm sorry.
He left you alone. He's like, you're going to have to defend
by
yourself. Listen, yeah, my man had the turf toe. You could obviously tell. And Brady playing with the torn MCL only makes his legend so much more legendary. So I'm not going to sit here and knock Brady, because we already know he a big horn goat with that one. He grew a third horn or something. So believe me, I'm mad at Brady.
Yeah, me neither, man. I can't be mad at the GOAT, man.
But my man had turf toe. We all saw it. I'm just saying. I'm JJ Vargas. My brother's Riley Barrett, Sanders Sanchez. We'll catch you on Wednesday. Yeah.